KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Skies are clearing out over Atlantic. Cloudy skies off to the south. We look for skies to become partly sunny today, a high of 27. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. It's 16 degrees. Topping the news this morning, an altercation Thursday night in Audubon resulted in one person treated for injuries and another arrested for attempted murder. An investigation resulted in the arrest of 25-year-old Austin Michael Grieve of Audubon on felony charges that included attempted murder, going armed with intent, willful injury, and burglary in the first degree. Grieve was being held this morning in the Audubon County Jail while waiting an appearance before a magistrate. Audubon Police Chief Matt Starmer says authorities received a 911 call at around 9:34 p.m. Thursday from the 300 block of South Division Street. Upon arrival, officers encountered two men struggling inside a home. Weapons had been used during the struggle between the subjects. While Grieve was detained, emergency medical attention was given to the victim, 25-year-old Joshua Robert Bowen. Law enforcement secured the scene and a series of search warrants were conducted by the Audubon Police Department, Audubon County Sheriff's Office, and the Iowa Department of Criminal Investigations. Chief Starmer says there will be no more information released regarding the case at this time, other than that the Audubon Police Department is confident that this was an isolated incident and the public is not in any danger. A traffic stop Wednesday afternoon in Pottawatomie County resulted in two men from Wisconsin being cited for possession of a controlled substance, marijuana. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office said Thursday 30-year-old Anthony Spears and 25-year-old Stefano Towers Young, both of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, were cited and released following the traffic stop for speeding on Interstate 80 westbound near mile marker 10 at around noon on Wednesday. A deputy who spoke with the men as they were in a 2014 Chevy Impala detected an odor of marijuana coming from the vehicle. A probable cause search of the car was conducted, which resulted in the recovery of about a gram of pot. A man from Council Bluffs was arrested Wednesday evening on a Pottawatomie County warrant for violation of a no-contact order. A sheriff's deputy stopped a pickup occupied by 35-year-old Anthony Joseph Quant and a 23-year-old woman from Council Bluffs. Quant produced evidence the warrant had been quashed by the court, but Pott County Dispatch verified a separate warrant for violating a no-contact order was valid, and because Quant was unable to produce any evidence to the contrary, he was taken into custody and brought to the Pott County Jail. A man from Des Moines was also arrested Wednesday in Pottawatomie County. The sheriff's office said 36-year-old James Murdoch was taken into custody for violation of a protective order after a deputy called to the 42-mile marker of Interstate 80 to assist a motorist, checked the vehicle's registration, and learned that Murdoch was with a 37-year-old woman who had a protective order issued against him. A Sergeant Bluff man has pleaded not guilty to accusations that he stole mail while working for the U.S. Postal Service. Online court records say a trial is scheduled to begin April 3rd for 42-year-old Kirk Baird in U.S. District Court in Sioux City. Prosecutors say that from August through October 20th of last year, Baird took letters and other pieces of mail and removed them, cash, gift cards, and other valuable items from those items of mail. The charge carries a maximum prison sentence of 5 years without the possibility of parole. Elsewhere in state news, the increasing presence of a deadly synthetic opioid called Pink or U4 has prompted warnings from Iowa authorities. Ames police spokesman Jeff Huff told the Des Moines Register that the drug, also called Pinky, has been identified in a handful of Ames cases since June, but he says there are other cases that police don't know about. In June, a joint statement from four state health and public safety agencies warned the public about U4 as a response to a non-fatal overdose in eastern Iowa. In November, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration categorized U4 among the drugs with the highest potential for abuse or addiction, comparable to methamphetamine, cocaine, and heroin. Huff says his department is warning parents that U4 poses great risks to high school and college students. The Republican-controlled Iowa Senate has approved a bill that would pass up millions in federal dollars in order to avoid giving state funding to Planned Parenthood. The Senate voted 30-20 along party lines to approve the bill, and it now goes to the GOP-led House, where it has support. The bill proposes Iowa give up nearly $3 million in Medicaid money to create a state-run family planning program that excludes funding for organizations that perform abortions. No family planning money now funds abortions. Iowa now contributes about $480,000, generating a 2.9 federal match. The bill would shift all expenses to the state. Republican lawmakers didn't address how Iowa would pay for the new program, costing at least $3.4 million. Governor Branstad supports using federal funding now spent on on-risk youth.
We'll stand united. He cannot divide us. We'll stand united. He cannot divide us.
As a crowd of protesters outside the State House denounced President Trump's stand on immigration last night, there was an often bitter debate about state funding for schools inside the Capitol in Des Moines. Shortly after 7 o'clock, the 29 Republicans in the Iowa Senate ratified a plan to increase general state aid by $73 per student. Republican State Senator Mark Shelgren of Ottumwa says it's as much as the state can afford to extend for next year's school budgets.
We're putting $40 million of new money in.
Senator Jeff Elder, a Republican from State Center, said he had many conversations with superintendents in his area, and this was their message.
It was no matter what number we set, please get it to us in a timely fashion.
Independent Senator David Johnson of Ochedon left the Republican Party this past summer to protest Donald Trump. Johnson ridiculed the level of school funding Republicans have decided upon.
Excuse me? This is Iowa, and this is the 21st century. It's not a priority. Not at 1.11%.
Senator Janet Peterson, a Democrat from Des Moines, called the roughly 1% increase pathetic.
Iowans are starting to connect the dots. You can't let out-of-state corporations snarf up all of our state funds at an all-you-can-eat tax giveaway buffet and expect to have money left for our kids.
There were several fits and starts during the debate as senators quarreled, were encouraged to cool it by the parliamentarian, and then resumed the discussion. Senator Shelgren, the Republican from Ottumwa, and Democratic Senator Todd Bowman of Maquoketa sparred when Shelgren said that voters aren't used to politicians keeping their word.
And that's going to change now.
He's saying we don't keep our word?
Bowman, if you want to imply, please.
Senator Amy Sinclair of Allerton was the Republican who had steered the bill to defund Planned Parenthood through the Senate earlier in the day on Thursday, and it was her duty a few hours later to deliver the final remarks on the school funding bill.
I think we are all tired of each other, if not the conversation. I want to thank everyone for the spirited debate. I think this is how we really learn from each other and move this process forward.
The debate about school funding now shifts to the Republican-led Iowa House. A public hearing on the proposal is set for 11 a.m. Monday at the state capitol. An analysis by the Des Moines Register shows that more than two-thirds of Iowa legislators are paying hundreds of dollars less a month than appropriate for their health insurance, a potential violation of state law. Data analyzed by the newspaper shows that more than 90 of the nearly 150 Iowa legislators pay as little as $20 a month in health insurance premiums, rather than the $142 to $334 a month those plans call for. Another nearly 40 lawmakers pay up to $344 a month for coverage plans, rather than as much as $446 their plans call for. The newspaper found that total underpayments are costing taxpayers more than $29,000 a month, or about $350,000 a year. The State Department of Administrative Services provided the data, but declined the Register's request for comment, and the Attorney General's office also has declined to comment. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.